welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. The topic of infant mortality and infants dying is never easy. The loss of a baby's life is heartbreaking and sad, happens way too frequently for any number of reasons, many of which are preventable, and that's our topic this morning, infant mortality, with Dr. Donna Bakke, who joins us each month to cover a public health topic. Good morning, Dr. Bakke.
Good morning.
And welcome back. Now, and you're a trained pediatrician, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So a lot of your work in the earlier part of your career was around these kinds of topics.
Definitely.
I just can't imagine. I think that would be just the worst, to have to work with a family who had just lost a child. We also have a special guest with us this morning. Will you introduce our guest?
Yes, we do. It's Dr. Cynthia Morrow. She's the commissioner of the Onondaga County Health Department.
Yep, and we're glad to have you back, Dr. Morrow. It's been a little
you.
While. Now, we're going to cover a couple of related topics having to do with babies who die in the early, either when they're born, sometimes before they're born, I'm afraid. These were topics we originally looked at back in 2007. At the time, Dr. Bakke, you had just arrived.
That's
in
right.
Syracuse. You mm-hmm. hadn't been here very long. And we also talked to Dr. Dave Smith, who's the president of Upstate. He's also a member of the National Board of Directors for the March of Dimes, so he knows a lot about infant mortality as well. But we want to talk about right here in Onondaga County, Dr. Morrow. Tell us about infant mortality. At the time, we had some figures that said that the rate of death for babies in Onondaga County was about 9.2 per 1,000 births. And that was much higher at the time than the national average of 6.8. Have things changed any?
No, we still unfortunately have high rates of infant mortality, although if we compare our rates to 15 years ago, we've made dramatic headway. And what is very concerning to both Dr. Bakke and to myself is the disparities that we see in infant mortality. If you look at our black infant mortality rate, it is so much higher than our white infant mortality rate. And the bottom line is, we need to protect all babies, but we do need to focus our efforts on those black babies who are seeming to die before their first birthday at rates that are unparalleled to the white rates.
Really? And almost half again?
Absolutely. And it's all babies deserve the same start in life.
They do. But what do we chalk this up to? What's the disparity? Where does it come from? Do you know, Dr. Bakke?
There are any number of reasons. They could be physical. They could be socioeconomic. They could be cultural. It really varies when you look at it.
Well, maybe what we should start by doing here is defining actually what infant mortality means. Are we just talking about premature babies? Are we talking about older babies? Dr. Morrow, is there a definition?
Absolutely. The definition is a baby who is born live and dies before the first birthday.
Oh, so it is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something recognized worldwide, I would assume.
Yeah, it's just the general accepted definition of infant mortality.
It is. All right. So when we're talking about prevention or we're talking about causality, we really have to talk about a whole variety of things, everything from the prenatal care the mother is getting on up to the environment once the baby is born.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then let's talk about it just that way. Let's talk about some of the reasons a baby might die actually when that baby is premature, is not supposed to be born just yet. Dr. Bakke, what would be some of the major reasons there?
Well, some of the reasons the baby may be born prematurely is that, you know, if the mother hasn't gone to prenatal care early and often, she may not have been monitored for things like gestational diabetes or high blood pressure, which may then cause her to go into labor early. And the baby's born early, their lungs may not be developed, and so they can't breathe right, or they may develop an infection. There's any number of reasons once the baby's born prematurely. The other thing is that we now have seen an increase in the rise in C-sections, and sometimes those C-sections done thinking the baby is at term, sometimes the baby's born early and the baby can have complications from that also.
Really? And I have to wonder, too, you know, we do so much, we've made so many movements, and I'll say forward because it should be a positive thing, in saving babies who are born earlier and earlier and earlier. But if those babies really couldn't have, you know, 10 years ago they might not have survived, or 20 years ago they might not have survived, does that contribute to that higher rate even though they're babies that couldn't have survived before?
I think that that's a great point, and it is part of the challenge when the definition includes live birth, because there are some babies who we wouldn't expect to die. I think from a public health perspective,
or you wouldn't expect them to live.
Mm-hmm. Me, absolutely. And I think that from a public health perspective, what we focus on is exactly what I meant to say, is that we focus on those preventable deaths of those babies who are healthy and otherwise expected to live a long, healthy life, and yet something happens in the social situation, and they can have a poor outcome. And our focus is really on preventing those deaths that we know we can do something about.
That the ones that there's not something necessarily wrong with the baby, but something wrong with the circumstance of
exactly.
birth.
Exactly.
All right, so
exactly.
What are some of those things? I mean, clearly we would recommend to any pregnant mother that she needs to get care as she is pregnant with that baby. But there are some other things she can do without ever stepping a foot into a doctor's office as well.
Well, if you also think about even during pregnancy and once the baby's born, smoking is a big contributor to smaller babies, but also then the risk of having SIDS or sudden infant death syndrome once the baby's born. We know that's a very big contributor. So not smoking or stopping smoking, not having smoking in the household is one very specific thing. Good nutrition, mm-hmm. Making sure that you're eating right. And getting enough calories for the baby is something that a mother can do.
Getting enough calories.
Right. And then,
as opposed to too many calories?
I mean, right.
Seriously, is that really a problem? Is that mothers aren't
eating
enough
food? Well, it's
the
good quality of calories. It's,
okay.
It's not just the calories.
All right. So we know eating nutritiously and avoiding the smoking. Is there anything else? What about the vitamins? I remember taking those big, I called them horse vitamins. They were so huge. Do we still recommend that for pregnant women?
Absolutely. One of the most important vitamins for pregnant women is folic acid.
And that's kind of a new revelation, isn't it, over the last 5 or 10 years?
A little bit longer than that, but
right.
But what we do know is that women really do need to have their folic acid levels at high levels to prevent what we call neural tube defects, which are specific problems associated with not having enough.
All right, so we've talked about the babies who are born prematurely and have problems because they're born prematurely, but now let's talk about those babies. They're born, they are healthy enough to get out of the hospital, they go home. We hear things in the news about SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome, and I know that there's also a concept now about how babies are sleeping and how they are placed for their sleep. So let's talk about some of these causes of why babies die once they're born and they get home into what we would hope would be a healthy and decent environment. There are still things that can happen.
Absolutely. Dr. Bakke mentioned tobacco as a cause for sudden infant death syndrome. One of the things that we've learned a lot about in the last 5 years is what we used to call a sudden infant death syndrome, where we didn't have an explanation. We've changed the way we've done death scene investigations for infants, and we've learned a lot. One of the things that we've learned a lot about is that many children are put in what we call unsafe sleep environments. Even though we know that babies should be put on their backs in their cribs without bumpers and toys in their cribs, we frequently find that babies are still being put on their tummies. That's a risk factor for sudden death.
Well, let's stop there just 1 second, because I'm thinking back to when I was birthing babies, and that's the opposite information we were given in those days. And I'm going to suggest to the rest of you grandparents out there, pay attention to this, because this is very different. Infants in my children's day, we put them on their tummies. Why did we think that putting them on their tummies in those days was correct? And now we know, and I put quotation marks around know, that it is not correct, that they should be on their backs.
Well, I think one of the benefits of public health is that you can look at trends, and you could look, when people do investigations, they look at how the baby was positioned and what happened. And after a number of years of studies, what we found out that babies who were on their stomach were, you know, when you looked at SIDS, more of the babies were dying when they were on their stomach than if they were on their back. And so in the mid-1990s, the Academy of Pediatrics and a number of other organizations started recommending that babies be put on their back to sleep, and also that they be put in cribs without anything else around, because babies can be mobile. You know, after the first month mm-hmm. or two, they can all of a sudden turn over and start moving, and they can get their head lodged in between the bumper or the end of the crib, and it can be a problem. They can die. So I think part of it is that we've done more studies and more research, and now know that the best way to put a baby to sleep is in their own crib on their back. Not with a parent in a bed, not with someone else in a bed, not on a soft cushioned bed or a couch.
Well, let me ask this. Weren't there studies in those days that said we should put them on their tummies?
I think it was just culture. It was
really
what, you know, my mom taught me and her mom taught her.
The conventional wisdom.
And actually, Trish, it's a really important issue, because one of the things we know now is that the younger generations are putting their babies to sleep on their backs, but then baby might go to grandma or grandpa's house and be put on their tummy.
Exactly.
And that baby's actually at higher risk.
Really?
If they're typically on their back and then they're suddenly put on their stomach, they're actually at higher risk for poor outcome.
And so the message to any of the young parents out there is to make sure that if your baby's being cared for, particularly by an older caregiver, a grandparent,
sure
or an aunt,
tell them.
Make sure that they know how that baby should be positioned. Now, there's also, and I've read this in the paper, about studies about babies who, you talk about the cushions against the side of the crib, and we know that cribs get recalled all the time mm-hmm. because they have risk factors just in the way the crib was manufactured. Babies do start to scoot around. Their little legs get busy and they push themselves or they learn to turn over. Are they suffocating from other reasons?
One of the greatest concerns that Dr. Bakke and I both have is that if we look at what's happening in Onondaga County, the majority of preventable deaths in infants under the age of one in the last couple of years have been babies who have been found to sleep with either adults or older siblings.
Really?
And it's what we call co-sleeping, either in the same bed or on a couch.
Really?
And, you know, unfortunately, we've had several examples over the last year where babies who were otherwise healthy were co-sleeping with an adult or an older sibling, and unfortunately, when that older sibling or adult woke up, they woke up to a dead infant.
Where they had rolled over on the infant?
Sometimes it's rollover.
Snuggled?
It's snuggled.
Oh.
Sometimes we don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can imagine that for that adult, there is nothing that can be more heartbreaking
than
that situation.
Right. Exactly.
And
right.
It's preventable.
And, you know, I can also picture an adult getting up with a child who won't sleep, who's crying or whatever.
That's what we hear about.
Sitting on the rocking chair in the living room and they both fall asleep. I can think of, so what that means is we just have to be more careful. Dr. Bakke, do you have anything to add to that? Any other words to the wise about making sure the babies sleep properly?
Well, I know that, you know, when I talk to parents about this in my practice, you know, they say, well, I can feel the baby, I'll wake up. And a lot of times when you get into a very deep sleep, you don't feel anything.
No,
and
you
so,
don't.
You know, it's very hard to feel that. And the other thing you have to realize is young babies, particularly under the age of 6 or 8 months, don't have this muscle strength. Like if you were pushed against a pillow, you would fight back and lift your head up because you couldn't breathe. Young babies don't necessarily have that strength to be able to do that. So if they get into a situation where they all of a sudden can't breathe, they may not have the strength to move their head. And so it really is best to put your baby, as we say, on the back in their own crib.
With nothing around them.
With nothing around them.
You know, I also have to think that young parents in particular are exhausted. And when you finally get a chance to fall asleep, you don't wake up for anything until you hear that baby cry.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're concerned, I would put the crib in the room with you if you're that concerned.
That's
or have
the
a
best
baby
story.
Monitor.
Hey,
you know,
great idea.
Like that.
Very good. Well, Dr. Donna Bakke, Dr. Cynthia Morrow, this has been an important and eye-opening conversation. Hope the next time we talk to you, you'll see that the numbers of these instances have gone down and that more babies are surviving. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you. And listeners, we're going to take a break now. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.